She's April, and the other one is Molly. And by their Wonder Twin powers combined, they are
the besties.
For those of us that are not in the Coast Guards,
can I give you my shortened version?
I like it when you call me Big Papa.
You're going to have to get that closer to your face.
I was not a pricker checker. That is not how that works.
Your trauma has become my trauma.
And yet I'm still here. Okay, Thomas. Okay. This is what happens when we put you in charge, huh?
He should never be in charge of anything. Ever.
I mean, you let me be in charge, so why not Tom?
I question that decision as well.
Great.
Look, I got a Reading Rainbow shirt from TikTok.
I love it. Mine is not from TikTok, but it is a children's shirt as well.
I love that book.
It is my favorite book. I'm pretty sure I got one of your boys this book when I
did. Yeah, James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is the Molly book. Mm-hmm. This is weird. Usually you're just listening to us, not looking at us, Tom. It's weird.
I am looking right at you, but it's weird. Very fitting to have a children's books for a YA book this week.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true.
I'm so fucking tired. I don't even know if I'm going to make it. I might fall asleep in the middle of the episode. Well, those migraines that I was having, turns out I have a sinus infection. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I just got back from Piper's dress fitting for her prom dress. That's right. I have a kid old enough to go to prom.
That's
gross.
James is going to the sneaker dance. Is it sneaker ball, Tom? Or is it sneaker?
What's
I don't know.
Sneaker dance.
They wear sneakers.
It's just a bunch of just squeaky shoes on a floor.
No, they were dressed. They dress to impress, but they wear sneakers instead of dress shoes. So it's like your alternative girl from, you know, the early aughts, thinking she's all edgy by wearing a dress.
Wearing her Chucks with her prom dress. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. Got it.
But he's going with his two best friends. It was very, adamant. He was very adamant that he's not going with a girl, and he's only going with his friends as friends. Like,
obviously.
Just as friends. Like, we need to understand.
Some of those friends are girls.
Well, I don't know if the girls are going, but yes, he does have girl space friends.
I mean,
he said that he doesn't think he'll be mature enough to have a girlfriend until high school. And I'm like,
I mean, at least he's honest about it. At least he's honest about it. You know, like, he's being truthful with his feelings.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably introduce my husband, our editor. This is
Tom.
Do
they not know who he is?
They might not, if you're new to Besties, because we've gotten a lot of people joining us.
That
this
is
season.
True. We do have a lot of new folks.
We always mention him at the end because he's been editing our podcast since the beginning. Because when Molly and I decided to do this, neither of us had any idea how the fuck to do a podcast. I don't even know. I'll say that our first full season, we probably still didn't know what we were doing.
But we conned Tom into figuring it out for us.
It was a very easy con. He gets certain favors in exchange. From me only, not from Molly.
That's going to stay that way too, by the way.
Yes, it is. I will not share him.
To talk to the other person for payment, yes. And that usually clears things up pretty quick.
No. I do not want to share you. Except
I don't want you. No offense. You're like a brother to me. It's weird that we're having this conversation at all. How about we just move on to what book we're talking about?
I felt like I needed to specify so people didn't think that we were some weird, like, I don't know.
We got Matt too. So, like, what are we just?
Nobody in this group is having pineapples out in front of their house. That's not happening.
Upside down pineapples.
We're not those kind of Coast Guard people.
With the exception of Zachary Levi, no pineapples.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't want that one either. You can have him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll take Nathan Fillion. I have a list, actually. I'll put it on our website if anybody's interested.
Tom's interest is Jewel State.
I get that.
Drew Barrymore mostly, and Drew State recently. So
I love Drew Barrymore. Yeah. I have a big old girl crush on that chick. Not gonna lie.
It's the lisp for me.
She's adorable. She's always been adorable. She's
so adorable. Yeah.
It's that manic pixie dream girl thing, right? She gives off that vibe.
Yeah. So Tom suggested this book and like I said, cool, we'll do it if you host. So that's where we are.
And it was one of your episodes. So a win's a win, homie.
Yeah. I've had a light season because, the episode that was April Fool's where Nurse Katie and Francesca Zappia subbed in for us.
Fucking
that
was also man. She's a rock star.
Episode. So yeah,
she's a fucking rock star. Have you seen her Big Lady Magic card series? Oh my gosh.
Tom wanted her to say Big Lady Magic somewhere in the episode. And I told her that. And she was like, I don't know if I can do that for Shark Heart. But her Big Lady Magic is hilarious. We watch them together while we're eating lunch because I come home for lunch and she.
God, she's so funny. Yeah. I sent her, I saw this. It's probably AI. I sent it to her on Instagram. It's, I'll send it to you guys and I'll post it on the Book Besties page for this episode. But it's like an AI and it's like, fuck yeah, America! And it's like a naked shirt. Will Ferrell drinking a beer.
Oh my gosh.
It's a magic card. And I go, can you sneak this into the Big Lady Magic
game? Does Will Ferrell drinking a beer have Big Lady Magic?
Yes or no? Maybe?
No. That's
Look at the card first. I get you. Judge.
No, I get you, but that would definitely be mediocre white man energy.
Yeah.
Facts.
Although I'm not sure that Will Ferrell is mediocre.
At anything. I mean,
he is definitely a mediocre actor. Like, he's what? Not. Yeah.
You know what? We're going to fight like we did that time that you told me that Steven Spielberg was mid at most.
He is mid at most.
What?
Where'd he go?
I'm right here.
He left. He was so upset. He left for a minute and came back.
How did you even do that? You like magicked yourself out, but we're still able to film. What is happening? Okay. Anyway, so the book that we're talking about, I'm going to let Tom take over, but I don't think any of us have a physical copy, right?
I don't. I thought I did. I don't.
We all read it as an audiobook, so I'll just have you put it right here, husband.
You're going to have to get that close to your face.
Huh?
You're going to have to get that closer to your face.
Gross.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Gross. This is a YA book, Thomas.
This is not a YA podcast.
The Never. Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking
by T. Kingfisher.
Kingfisher. I think I'm just going to shut up right now because I need to think about what I just did.
So, right. I'll go ahead and give you my abridgment of a wizard.
You mean a synopsis? When you open your mouth, you just have to speak pretentiously. Like you can't just say regular words.
An abridgment isn't even the correct. That's not even the correct term. Synopsis or summary is abridgment is a shortened version. It's not a summary. It's like literally cutting out pieces of it.
Can I give you my shortened version?
Yes. Sure. As long as you understand that I'm right.
Your marriage is exhausting. The word
abridgment is a shortened version.
I'm so glad I'm not in it.
Here comes my abridgment because I am definitely short.
An abridgment is not the same thing as a synopsis. I'll be that nice.
Like I said, your marriage is exhausted. I'm glad I'm not in it.
Molly, you're more in this marriage than you think you are.
Jesus Christ!
You and I have been doing this podcast for long enough. You're in this marriage too. All right, go ahead.
Great.
All right. A Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking by T. Kingfisher is a. Looking for the word here.
Didn't you write the fucking synopsis?
I did write the synopsis. That's a pen name for Ursula Vernon. Now, in this modern twist retelling of Jack the Ripper, set in medieval dark ages, a 14-year-old bakery assistant, Mona, is hunted by an evil wizard over the murder of a girl in mismatched socks. Exiling the perpetrator only escalates the tension as he, Inquisitor Oberon, has apparently hired an army to besiege the city. As everyone already knows, the most important thing during a siege is fluffy pastries. The Duchess has very few magical friends left, which she turns to our favorite baker. Let's just say that on a scale of 1 to 10, my friends, she's fucked. The only remedy for the situation is 4 giant loaves of bread doing a can-can.
As one does.
As you would in a war.
Yep. Yes. Seems important.
It wasn't a can-can. It was actually a proper defense against the waltzing marauders of some randomness. Right. Anyway. This YA story has won 6 awards, including the Andre Knowlton Nebula Award, the Lodestar Award, Dragon Award for Best Young Adult Novel, Myopoic Award for Best Myopic Children's Novel, yeah, whatever. And at one point during the reading of this book, April told me she might DNF the book.
Are you glad you hung in there? I don't remember saying that.
Or was this book worse than Big Swiss?
Nothing is worse than Big Swiss.
Lost Apothecary. We didn't even have an episode for it.
Yeah, but Lost Apothecary at least had some merit.
I don't know.
It did.
I don't know about that.
You thought Big Swiss had more merit than Lost Apothecary?
I don't know. I'll get back to you on that one. Let's talk about this book instead.
It's a good call.
Okay. Early on.
You're leading. You're in charge. Ask the question.
We're not just going to sit here and bullshit over you. Well, we could. We're not going to.
You are. Early on, we get the dreaded statement, boys will be boys. This is, in this time, it's a negative connotation. It says, even good boys will be boys. Does that inspire you to turn the phrase around in today's society?
Where the fuck did he go? No, I really hate that phrase.
I don't
use that in our house. We don't use that with our boys.
I don't like that expression. It means that it gives boys free range to be trash.
And then you get people like whatever, Brock, whatever the fuck his name was. And the judge says, well, he's a good kid. No, he's a rapist. So, yeah. No.
Saying boys will be boys is like giving them free range to just do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And we teach girls at a young age that they are responsible for everything they do and how people look at them. Why? Mm-hmm. Why can we not teach our boys to be responsible for their actions too?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we are.
Yeah, but you're the.
We should not be the exception to the rule.
That's it. There it is. Those are the words I was looking for. Thank you.
It's fine. I got you. So Sam got in trouble this school year. I mean, I don't know if that trouble's the right word, Tom, because he got talked to by the like guidance counselor, right? But he didn't like get sent to the principal. He was like doing this. And like, I do that. I'll be like, all right, dude. Like,
He had finger guns.
Yeah.
And one of the kids was intimidated and felt threatened. And so we told him, we're like, look, you can't do that at school. I know we do that here. I know it's okay, but you can't do it at school. And he didn't really understand why. And that was a situation where I feel like the boys will be boys. It actually does apply. Because our kids never saw guns or anything with guns or played video games with guns or any of that. And then they still walked around the house making gun noises and turning toys into guns. So that is somehow a boy thing. But right. I told Sam he couldn't do it at school. Tom told him he couldn't do it at school. But like, I do that all the time. I'll be like, finger guns, you know, like, yeah. Like,
right.
So guns are okay, but killing people is not.
No, the guns are not okay. I'm just saying that this is an example of like a time in which boys innately do something. Right, Raping someone is not an innate thing.
Right. But, like, playing cops and robbers, that's a thing boys do. Chasing each other with sticks, that's a thing boys do.
Wrestling.
I chased my sister with a stick, but that's a different thing.
Our boys wrestle. Like, I, we didn't tell them to do that. They've never seen wrestling. They just do it.
Right. Right. Like, there's... So, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't like boys will be boys. I don't like the expression.
I don't either. I don't.
And like girls will be girls has never been an expression. Like, that's never been a thing.
No.
So, what...
Uh-oh. Look at his face.
It's not girls will be girls. It's a lot more... It's a lot worse connotation.
Which is?
Bitches be bitches. Listen, bitches do be bitches. But not all women are bitches.
Hoes be hoeing.
Bitches be crazy, but not all women are bitches.
Right. Right. Life, man. Life. I don't like the expression. We need to bury it. Okay. End of conversation.
At the end of the trial, Mona got turned around and took a strange shortcut through the rat's elbow. Have you ever been turned around in a strange city and took the wrong street?
I have.
No, because anytime I was in a strange city for the Coast Guard, I wasn't allowed to go anywhere without an escort because
boys will be boys.
Because every time I went out of town, I was in the southern part of Texas. And if you go any more south, it's bad.
So yeah. I got lost in the red light district in Paris by myself at night.
That's a fun time.
Yeah. So here's what happened. So I had three people that I traveled through Europe with when I did my study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me sound like I was like fancy and rich. Guys, I was poor as fuck. Like, I got to go because I went on a scholarship. And I'm pretty sure that my grandmother was paying off my credit card along the way. I don't know.
God bless anyway, grandma.
I know. Lois was the bomb.
Lois was the bomb.
So anyway, I was really kind of sick of them. Like, I'd had enough of their shit.
Gotcha.
Adam was one of the guys who were the only guy that was traveling with us. He was just driving me crazy. I couldn't take it anymore. They wanted to walk really quickly. I wanted to observe the surroundings. So I decided I was going to forge my own path that day.
Makes sense.
I was going to go to the Eiffel Tower by myself, which I did. I decided to go to a cafe and have bread and cheese and, you know, and I did that.
Enjoy Paris.
And then I was going to go to the Holy Thursday service at the American Cathedral in Paris, because there is an English speaking church in Paris, the American Cathedral in Paris. They all wanted to go to the Sacré-Cœur because that was a Catholic church and they wanted to, you know, attend a service there. I was fine with that. Well, after the service, it was dark, and because I observe everything while we were walking, I knew my way home. I thought I turned up a street that I was pretty sure was the right street, and our hostel was on the street of the red light district, but on the other end at the base of the Sacré-Cœur. So it started getting dark very quickly, and about 10 minutes into my walk up this road, I realized I was not where I was supposed to be, and I was completely lost. So I'm not very good at traveling on public transit because I grew up in Ohio and you just don't do that there. So no, I went down into the subway. There was an English family there, English, not English speaking, but I mean, yes, they were English speaking, but they were British. An English family there, and they were figuring out where they needed to go. And I was like, oh my gosh, can you please help me? Like, I have a Metro pass, but I'm just not great at this. They're like, sure, this is the train you need, blah, blah, blah. I was like, great. So I got on the train, and the second stop on the route, someone came on speaking French and told everybody they had to get off the train. I didn't speak French, so I didn't know what I was supposed to do. So I was like, I'm really sorry. Do you speak English? I don't know what you're saying. And she was just, she said, English? And I said, yes. And she goes, off. And I was like, okay, but what do I do? I don't know how to get back to my hostel and I don't speak French. And she's like, bus. And I was like, there's a bus up there? And she's like, yes. I guess the train must have closed for the night. I still don't really know. But when I got up to where the exit of the train station, where the bus was, I recognized where I was. And I was like, at the top of this street, at the top of this hill, is going to be the Moulin Rouge.
Very
and
that's, cool.
And I knew that because that's where we had walked earlier in the day. So I walked up that street and now I'm by myself in the red light district. And I had to walk the whole red light district to get to our hostel. And the whole way people were catcalling me. And I don't know how they fucking knew I was American, but everybody was like, oh, American girl, come in here. We want to see your, you know, my tits. And it was like, I pass. I'm not doing
it. I would have gone into the Moulin Rouge. I would have gotten in so much. I would get in trouble in Paris. Any red light district, honestly, I get in trouble. But
that's not my vibe, Molly. I was mostly terrified and trying not to pee my pants.
I understand.
So when I got back to the hostel, all three of my travel mates were asleep.
Like dickheads.
They didn't even notice I wasn't there.
That's
my story.
I had babysitters. The one time I thought I could get lost in a city was South Padre, and I was assigned a shipmate to follow me everywhere because Brownsville was being very bad at the time.
Did they assign you a male or a female shipmate?
A male.
Really?
A male.
That's very sexist. You go through the same training that they go through.
I was pregnant with Piper. They probably had
more protection then, for sure.
They had recently stationed Brownsville, had a female non-rate taken by the cartel.
Oh, shit.
And I was down there for the Mexican Coast Guard. Like, they do this every few years. They do this practice drill where there's, like, an oil spill on the, like, the border. And, like, they practice cleaning it up and stuff. And so, like, I thought I'd get to wander around and, like, get to know South Padre. No.
Did they get her back, Molly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Geez. I'm like, how do you?
They actually let her get out of the Coast Guard. They gave her like a
I would hope so. How would you like to be the commanding officer that has to tell her parents that we lost your daughter to the cartel?
She was
in the Coast Guard.
She was like week four of being there out of boot camp, and like. She was like some little girl from like North Dakota or like Montana.
What the fuck did she join the Coast Guard for?
To get the hell out of her small town.
Of all the military branches, though, the Coast Guard.
What do you think I did?
You grew up in New York. You were at least on a fucking coast.
I was in Central New York. I grew up.
It doesn't matter, Molly. You were on a state that's on the coast. Montana has no water anywhere.
Remember where the Coast Guard's HR headquarters is, my friend.
I know.
All the most amount of coasties in one place. Yes.
Kansas.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, back to this book.
Tom, have you been lost in a city?
I am pretty much lost in any city that I'm
in. You are lost in our own city that we live in.
No.
He can't get home without his GPS.
Do. Yep.
Thomas Watkins.
Listen.
Molly, you have grown scary. Up with...
Molly, I got to tell you this. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
It is part of my VA rating. I get lost. It's all a bit, but
oh, man.
Yeah, there was one I can remember traveling. We pulled into Puerto Rico in a little cruise ship port down there.
Yeah.
I pull up on the phone. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go hit this grocery store, get some random local food because food's my jam. And then we're going to go see the sights. So first, grocery store is like five streets up off that dock. Well, I wasn't on the mess deck because I was in the radio room when they told us don't go three streets up because there's cartel and shit up there.
Yeah.
So I'm just wandering around Puerto Rico with just
without the briefing in your head.
Yeah. And I actually travel from that little grocery store all the way out. I walk all the way out to the fort and then walk all the way back. And I'm actually like passing the downtown government buildings. And I was like, this is enough. I turn around and I come back. Like the whole island.
Molly, that is 100% you coded though. Like I 100% would be like a yeoman on that boat standing on the bridge, be like, where's Tom going? Where's Tom going? You can't go there. Like, and you're just still walking. I 100% see this happening. There were people trying to warn you, and you just tuned them out because the
Where was Jeremy?
He probably had duty that day. I don't know.
Damn it, Jeremy.
So let me tell you, Molly. Recently, the four of us went to dinner.
Which four of us?
Like the four Watkinses.
There we go.
We went to dinner.
When you say four of us, I think you're meaning me, us. I'm like, no. Matt and I weren't down there recently. Did I forget this? Did I hallucinate?
No. No. So I don't remember if we went to dinner or we went to a movie or whatever. But anyway, I was stony pants. And Tom was driving.
As one should be.
Because I don't drive when I've partaken.
Smart.
And I forgot that he doesn't know how to get anywhere. It was when we went to, because we were going to dinner. I can say we live in coastal Virginia. I don't know. Maybe you want to cut that part out. Anyway, we were going to dinner and I forgot that he doesn't know how to get places. And so he's like, April, where do I go? And I was like, you take that road. And he's like, what road? And I was like, that one. And he's like, April. So I get him onto like a road. I'm like, do you know where you are now? And he's like, no, I really don't. He's on the road that our old church was on, which he used to have to go to like daily. And he still didn't know where he was.
Okay. So this is a thing I have to work with Piper, because she won't know where the car is when we get out of the car at the grocery store. We will literally get out of the car, go into the grocery store, and I'll be like, okay, here's the keys. Take the bags. I'll be right there. And she'll be like, I don't know where the car is. What do you mean you don't know where the car is? We were just out here 30 minutes ago. I don't know where it is.
Those have self-locators.
You would think
beep. Twice, it beeps. Right.
You would think that somebody's job. If
you're
out of range,
you put the key up to your chin, and it beeps a little bit louder. Right.
You would think that somebody's job that was directing boats could figure out how to drive their own fucking car places.
Henceforth, apparently, the VA rating. Not the same. Moving on. Henceforth, the VA rating.
Yes. Yes. I love that we're 30 minutes in and we've not talked about the book at all.
We did. Throughout the book, we get a discourse on heroes. Mona first meets the Golden Knight, who leads the Duchess army. She is starstruck and almost falls head over herself in her own trial. Mona later gets a boring, you got this note right before battle. While clearly the Golden Knight should be defending the city, the note itself brings Mona into the same peer group as her once crush. Do you think Mona continued to crush on the Golden Knight, or has she been forever revulsed by blonde boys like April?
I think
I'm spilling all my secrets.
I think that the mystique of the Golden Knight and all that was the royalty was gone when she showed up to the Duchess and was like, hey, fucking shit's going down. What are you doing about it? And the Duchess was like, I know. Yeah. And it was like that mystique dropped as soon as like she learned that the grown-ups in her life weren't gonna save her. She was like, oh fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And
I mean I agree with Molly. I mean, there may have still been a schoolgirl attraction. She's 14 and he's like a grown man. But I think that she lost a lot of she mentions at the end that she doesn't really have an easy time being friends with the Duchess because she doesn't really respect her. Like, she didn't do her job, and so a 14-year-old had to bake cookies.
Like, she couldn't be a teenager. Yeah. She couldn't be a teenager. And that's like, it's like the latchkey kids, right? Mm-hmm. The kids that had to raise themselves and, like, their parents that tell them, oh, your childhood wasn't that bad. How do you know you weren't there, guy?
Yeah. You know? So you guys have both seen Parks and Rec. I know Tom Absolutely. Has because I made him watch it. Ron Swanson makes a comment about Tammy One being the reason that he doesn't like blondes.
Right.
April doesn't like blondes because of boyfriend one. And boyfriend two, for that matter.
Jesus.
Yeah. And the reason that Tom put this question in here is because he overheard me say in the bathroom while I was getting ready and listening to this book, okay, come on, girl. He's a blonde. Just move on.
What? What? He's the golden knight.
Tom was like, what?
Okay, so Tom didn't really want us to read this book. He just wanted to pick on you for an episode, is what I'm understanding.
I'm pretty sure Tom's entire life goal was to marry me so he could pick on me for all of the rest of our lives.
I mean, that's why I married Matt, so I could heckle him.
Yeah, it's fair.
I mean, that's all I do.
I pick on Tom all the time, too. I mean, it's fine.
I get away with calling him Maddie Joe. He hates being called Maddie.
I can't believe he lets you get away with that.
Because I'm pretty.
He barely likes being called Matt.
It's because I'm pretty.
Nobody's allowed to call Tom Tommy except for Jeremy. There's only one. I'm not even allowed to.
I call him Thomas when I'm angry with him or I'm scolding him.
Thomas. Yeah, I do too. Do you know that story about Sam? His first day of kindergarten, he came home and he was like, Mom, I think I did something wrong. And I was like, why? He's like, the teacher called me Samuel. I was like,
oh, Sammy.
That's your name. And he only gets called Samuel when he's in trouble. Now, James has always been James, so we just drop the middle name in there when we're like, you know, gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to come home one day and be like, I'm Jim now. And you're going to be like, no, young man, you're James.
No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Try again, son.
I have a nephew whose birth name is Robert. Mm-hmm. If you know this boy and see this boy, you would know he's a bop. Mm-hmm. No matter how old he gets, how big, small he was, he's always been a Bob. Mm-hmm. And I can't explain it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Your birth name is Robert, but you're a Bob. Mm-hmm. You're a Bob. I don't know how to explain it.
There's a good Bob in this book, too.
I tried naming my sourdough starter Bob, and then it molded. So you know what?
That feels right.
For me, yeah. For me.
No, for Bob. That Bob the sourdough is like.
I was on day 3 of getting it going, and I opened it up, and I was like, what the fuck, Bob? And like it plopped. I was like, you asshole. So I had to toss it and start over.
I don't understand sourdough starters and people's
obsession
with them. Like, I don't get it.
I don't either. It's just like flour and water.
Make it seem like having this sourdough starter is like the greatest thing ever, and this has been in our family for like 50 years, and it's like you just put water in it every day. Like, what makes it so special? I don't get it.
I want a sourdough starter that I can feed animals to, like Bob in this book.
I would like to feed mice to a sourdough starter. That'd I don't want to eat the sourdough afterward, but I just don't like mice. Anyway,
right,
Tom, so, you're leading.
He's not very good at it.
Just herding cats in the general direction. When I first pitched this book 2 years ago, I described the magic system as witchy, vice role play. When with the direct mention of the magic of sympathy, I feel Ursula Vernon misuses the wizard nomenclature to describe Mona. Mona's powers are more closely resemble Minnie's chocolate pie from The Help than a magic mana point flowing around the body. Does this distinction matter, or am I being too picky?
I don't understand the magic system in this book. I don't feel like she fleshed it out well enough.
There's that. That's one bell thing for me, right? Okay. My beef here is I like the minor magic. But keep it minor magic. If she can only bake bread, make her only bake bread. Don't be all of a sudden, well, she also can make 50-foot men that can crush buildings out of sourdough, and gingerbread men can live forever. That's not how this works.
That didn't bother me. It was that some of the magicas were like, I don't know.
Like Molly and her horses?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like she rounded it out well enough to explain how these powers exist, what they do with them. Like, we learn that this community is not one that, like, that others the magical people, but I don't know.
We do get another water magic, right? Where the water person has to do a little bit of communication through the water. But he's able to do it because two bowls remember each other. That's not water. That's two bowls.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was the water in the bowls, though.
Yeah.
I thought.
But there was no connection between the two waters. The water was from that stream, and this water's from this stream. It's just because two random different waters are in the same bowls.
So I guess I misunderstood that, because what I thought was that the water came from the same place and then was put in the two different bowls.
I get what she's trying to do. Like, we're all connected. The Earth's connected. We need to take care of each other. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Earthy, blah, blah, blah. Right? But as I'm a woo-woo girl, and I literally put a tithing on my tree the other day, that's beside the point. I am. It's okay. I'm a good Christian girl. It's fine. I love that you're just always like, it's the fact that we have minor magic and then massive magic and nothing in between. Mm-hmm. There's no explanation on how we get these. Just people are born with it. That's kind of like a Harry Potter vibe where it's like muggles sometimes can just be wizards. Mm-hmm. The magic system isn't fleshed out. And I get that she's trying to make it look like they're others, you know, because like some cities don't welcome the magickers. And well, it just,
I also didn't understand how it at one point it's not just bread. Like, somebody gives her cookie dough and she's like, yeah, I can do that too. Yeah. Like, is it bread or is it all dough or is it all baked goods? Like, could you have an apple pie that like pops, I don't know, poisonous
apple bottom jeans boots with the fur?
Good point. I don't
know, looking at her.
Don't ever do that again. Don't ever. You give yourself a point for that one, Mr. Watkins.
What's my second point?
I'll take the point for that one. Thank you, Tom.
I am deeply uncomfortable by the fact that you even know any words of that song.
I bet Tom and I could get down at karaoke.
I think I would like to see that.
This July, damn it. This July.
I just don't understand how. I don't know.
It's not full. Like, I didn't fill it up. Tom, you explain it better. Go. Fix it.
Well, you did a great job.
Great job, Tom.
No, there's minor magic and there's major magic. And, you know, with the bones of horses. And specifically the bones of dead horses are the only ones that she can move. But maybe she can move the human but dead bones, and that's why she's not in the army, because like
we're not
dead
getting...
bones or recently dead bones, because recently dead bones aren't dead bones, they're alive bones.
But I feel like at least her gift was like it's something useful. Like why
Right, but look how it fucked Molly up, man. She was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
But was it because of the magic or was it because she was already fucking crazy? We don't know. We don't know.
We don't have a full
world. She got grafted. I can tell you. She got grafted into the army, went out and saw a bunch of dead shit, and was told to go back into civilian society. She's fucked up because of the army, period.
That feels legit.
I hope she gets 100%.
She got dead is what she got.
Aw, poor Molly.
Because it's your name, that just made me laugh. Because it's like, aw, poor Molly.
There are so many relevant tangents interwoven throughout this book. Rather short story. And at one point, Mona muses, what if people are believing the broadsheets? I had to rewind that part and focus on what the broadsheets actually said. When I listened to them back, technically the broadsheets weren't lying. She was wanted for questioning, and some of the questions that they were going to ask probably did lead to treason, depending on how they were answered. As a reader author, would you have wanted to see another side of the story, possibly from a perspective of somebody who was defending the constable's actions?
No. I don't need the villain's origin story. No, thank you.
You know what, though? Maybe. My maybe, because I feel like at
you
least
just want to argue.
I mean, maybe. I feel like giving another viewpoint might have helped fill the role out more.
That's
like if
true.
You had another POV.
Maybe an apprentice especially, on that side that was questioning their loyalty.
Especially even that guard, in a YA was, book who's trying to bring young adults into this world. She has right here the option of going, this is fake news, this is all the stuff.
Yeah.
And you have the option to go, but it's not quite fake news, not exactly. Then you can have that conversation to say, hey, you need to dig deeper, right?
Maybe even giving us Spindle's POV when he's out by himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something so we're seeing the world from another view that isn't her.
Yeah. I think that would have helped a lot because then you could have filled out the world of the people who weren't Magickas.
Maybe the aunt's point of view, or I don't know. I don't know. But
the aunt's point of view would have been completely fluff. She was totally in love with Mona and she could do nothing wrong.
By the way, Mona's the wrong name for her. That's not her name.
Mona did not fit this time or era. I was like, why?
That's not her name.
Why?
That's not her name.
No. It's like when people name their dog Ted Seeger III. Like, your dog is not Ted. Your dog is Squishy Pants Woogie.
A good dog name, actually. You're just mad because everybody names their dog Molly.
Valid. Do you know how many people a day when I'm out in public and they meet new people go, oh my God, that was my dog's name. And 90% of the time their dog was a fucking golden retriever.
Well, that fits.
Hey, you know.
Just own who you are, Molly.
A dog?
A golden retriever.
Molly is not a golden retriever.
No, she's really not. She's more like a chihuahua.
Hey! This black cat will scratch your eyes out, bitch. I'm actually an orange cat.
That makes sense. You are chaos.
I am chaos. I'm confused, and I will fall over randomly.
Just take a nap right here. We're done.
No, come on, Tom. We gotta finish this episode, boy. You gotta leave. Leave the episode.
At the end, we get a hint that there's a mischievous cookie left in the royal kitchen. This seems to bring a bit of solace to Mona. Are there any old sea stories lingering around that allows you to giggle every time you think about it?
I have not been to sea.
Mm.
It's not about sea stories, but, you know, there's...
Life.
Things you do, life... You get the opportunity to get mischievous and just break stuff all the time. And then walk away, and it's not your problem anymore. Yeah.
Oh, I got one for you, Tom. I got one for you. Okay. I'm going to have you bleep names. Cool? Okay. Yeah, you. You remember? Tom?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. When I was on maternity leave for Livia, okay, was going at it in my office with a YN2, if you remember this era correctly, Tom. And I had been a lateral transfer, so I came in off duty season. This man was a paranoid human being. He thought I was Sieges from the moment I arrived. Because I was a YN3.
For those of us that are not in the Coast Guard, Sieges is like NCIS, but for the Coast Guard.
Yeah, it's Coast Guard Investigations. He assumed I was sent there by Coast Guard Investigations to supervise him.
As a third?
As a YN3. Because I knew I was too skilled. I knew the manuals too well. And I was too far into my career,
he said. Well, Molly, how dare you know your fucking job?
That was his reasoning, okay? So when first it was he questioned my computer and thought I had extra additives on my tower because the guy just gave me one that was just randomly put together. It was a whole thing. And then, like, there were several times he accused me of being in Sieges. Well, while I was on baby leave, an investigation started because those two became into such a they'd come to such a head that it became an issue.
Was the YS2 the one that is no longer friends with us?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
No.
Her initials were S. The one I'm talking about, her initials were SG. And Tom knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I from the Radio Shack Night Watch, I heard about this blow up.
Okay. Okay. So I'm.
If he gets to the OS's, it's problem.
I'm. God damn it, Tom. I'm home. Okay. And I'm clothing tiny baby Livy because she's only 4 pounds. They gave me a preemie home, and my phone rings, and it's the sector, and I'm like, why are they calling me? It is a Lieutenant JG who's like, I'm really sorry. And he's like, I'm really sorry to bother you, Molly, but we have to do this interview over the phone. Do you have a minute? And I was like, yeah. He's like, so he goes through this whole thing about how he's recording and everything, and he goes, first, I have to ask you if you're Coast Guard investigations. And I go, no, but you're not allowed to ask me that, because if I was Coast Guard Investigations, I'm not allowed to tell you I'm Coast Guard Investigations.
Right.
And he goes, right. Moving on. are you aware of... he goes, are you aware of this situation going on? And he was telling me about the stuff. Tom knows what happened, and if I explain more, people that know me and Tom will know the situation. I don't want to put people on bus. Anyways, so he's going on and on about this, right? And I'm like, I was in an hour and a half interview with this man over with the back
baby,
my newborn, my 2-week-old. Mm-hmm. And he's going on and on and on about everything that happened in this office, but he kept having to go back to, he really thinks you're this, he really thinks you're this, he really thinks you're this, can you just, I was like, call the CGIS office, why are you bothering me? And he's like, they won't tell me. I was like, because I can't tell you either. 3 weeks
because later, I have to say no. I
3 weeks later, I am back to work. I am doing annual verifications. I get the whole CGIS office at my desk because that's the only time they come in. And I look at the lieutenant commander that is running CGIS, and I look him dead in the face, and I go, sir, for the love of God, tell my that I don't work for you. And he's like, of course, Molly, you're so great to us. I will end this for you. And as he was leaving, he never spoke to my senior chief. As he was leaving, he goes, oh, senior chief, she's not ours. Like, winky face, winky face. And senior chief turns bright red, goes into his office and closes the door and emails me. And it was like, I don't appreciate you talking to them about me.
There's no winning.
Why? There's no winning. So that man goes on in his career. I get an email from him around his retirement. He goes, you can tell me the truth now. I'm about to leave the Coast Guard. Were you or were you not in CGIS?
I would have fucking told him yes.
I go, oh, no, I did something worse. I go, sir, you know I still can't tell you. And that was it!
And you weren't even in anymore, were you?
I had been out 5 years at that point!
To this day, you're his white whale.
I am! Oh, for him, I am he was like, well, okay, first and foremost, Matt had a great job. So I was driving a new car. I had a nice bag. Like, we had money. So it wasn't like I was living like an E4 because I was an E4. I was living like an E6, E7 because my husband had bank. Like, he really was questioning everything. I ran into that CGIS officer at Commander Sandoval's retirement. And he goes, look, it's my favorite investigator. I go, you gotta stop telling people that shit. He goes, I almost hired you. I almost put in to have you transfer to us just to fuck with him.
That's funny.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I do have friends about her friend, not friends, but we don't talk about her on here.
Mm-hmm. But we do. We do talk about her on here.
But Tom knows all
you
those.
You just made a whole fucking TikTok about her.
By the way, I'm pretty sure she follows our Insta.
Oh, really? Well,
she follows my personal Insta still. Because I see her watching my stories, so I know she saw it. What about you, April? Sea stories?
I've never been to sea.
But you don't have any, like, funny college stories that just, like, sit with you and you're like, that's hilarious. Like,
no.
I can tell you a couple. But
about me?
Fun. Yeah. When you left library number two and here? Had to bounce.
There, here?
Yeah.
Library here? Number
here.
Two?
Library number two here.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So like the one I left a year ago?
Recently.
Right. So you had a program that you were doing that you had to turn over to admin. Admin completely flubbed it up and actually came back.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I'm really good at my job. I can't help it. Funny college story. The first time I ever got drunk, I danced on top of my dresser and sang, "I like it when you call me Big Papa." And I don't even know that song. So
obviously it's somewhere in your big subconscious.
Yeah. I have no recollection of this event.
I have pictures of Matt from his 21st birthday in Japan. I have to show you guys next time you're in town. Mm.
And when my mom found out that I got drunk for my 21st birthday,
Jesus.
I can't believe you would do that.
Really? She's
judging. You're supposed to be a good Christian. Why would you get drunk?
She's judging.
On my 21st birthday? Because everybody gets drunk on their 21st birthday. I threw up enough that I know that I did not want to do that again. Oh, I have a good England story. Also about drinking. It makes me sound like I'm a lush, but the last time I had a drink was like 6 years
champagne.
Ago. Champagne. Yeah, champagne on New Year's Eve 2020.
I know this story.
And I didn't even drink.
I know the last time she drank. Why don't you guys?
You all should. So in England, I drank a lot in England because I had just turned 21 and that's what you do in England. Because
There's pubs on every corner.
Right. There's literally three bars on the campus that I went to.
That's
so wild. Yeah. So I was drinking what my favorite drink was in England, which is not something you get here in the US, but it's very close to the color of the blue hypnotic, but that's not what it is. I cannot remember what it is because I drank too much of it. I was like
Pimm's cups? You're drinking Pimm's?
No, it was not Pimm's. I was sitting at my desk and I was getting ready and I was aiming instant messengering people back in the States. And I did not realize how much I had drank. And I drank the whole bottle and stood up and fell over and then crawled across the hallway to my flatmate's room and knocked on the door, the bottom of the door, because I couldn't stand up and said, "I am going to need a ride to the goodbye party because I appear to not be able to walk anymore."
I have lost my legs.
That is all I remember from that night.
I have a couple good boot camp stories. We had a CC that liked to make everybody laugh and then punish you for laughing. Mm-hmm. And my favorite one is one of the guys got caught with sand in his pockets because they used to make us do dives in the volleyball court because they wouldn't take us all the way to the beach because that was too far of a marsh. So we'd have to do these sand dives in the, don't even get me started. So we were doing these sand dives in the volleyball court. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're doing these sand dives, right? And it's dusk, sunset. We go to chow. We go to the thing. We're setting up watch. Everybody's running through. And all of a sudden you hear, cause we were on Monroe. We were in Monroe and the girls were on floor three and the boys were on floor. So we're in ours, and you can hear from 4-3 and 4-4, "Are you stealing from the United States Coast Guard?"
Because he had sand in his pocket?
He stole sand.
Oh, Tom, tell the story. Tell the story about how you had to be dead.
So he made us all get dressed, march back.
So you could return the sand.
He had to be in front of the group, and we were all standing there in formation, and he had to pull out of his pocket pinches at a time. He made him stand like this. "I will not steal from the United States Coast Guard. I will not steal from the United States Coast Guard." Drop. We were there for an hour and a half. He also named this kid Bed Bath & Beyond because his mom kept sending boxes with his favorite shampoo from Bed Bath & Beyond, or from Bath & Body Works. So he was called Bed Bath & Beyond because his mom was sending lotions and soaps for him. That kid is now a captain in the Coast Guard.
Of course he is.
The thief that stole sand.
Tom, tell the story about how you had to be dead.
So I was dead because I just wander off and do my own shit, right?
Right.
So
because Tom, because the tism is strong in this one.
The whole bit, the whole.
Where'd he go?
Get this thing back together. The whole base went on drill, right. Active shooter drill.
Oh fuck!
So I was over, leaving admin, coming back, headed over to
which base?
Boot camp. Yeah, headed back to Monroe, coming from admin, headed back to Monroe. And I'm sitting there at the crosswalk, do my thing, salute the officer. The officer comes up and he goes, bang, you're dead. Fall over. So I'm like laying in the middle of the road. And a couple of company commanders from like Bravo and Charlie came over and they were just sitting there and goes, what are you doing, recruit? I'm dead, sir.
I'm dead.
I had to race week two of boot camp. I'm allergic to bees. I didn't figure out I was allergic to bees till boot camp. We're in formation. I'm in the back of the line because I was medium height. So I was between the boys and the girls in height. So I blended in and my short hair was short. So I got ignored a lot. It was great. Bee comes ass first into my neck. I just start swelling.
And you're in formation, so you're not allowed to move.
Mm-hmm. I raise my hand and I go, I'm struggling to breathe. And I first hear, that's too bad. Then they turn and look at me and see that I'm just completely swollen. And they're like, really, Johnson? How dare you try to die on my hour? Go to the infirmary.
Die on somebody else's.
But then they kept forgetting about me because I had a boy's haircut and it was around the same height as most of the boys.
You know what? I feel like this is the first time I've ever listened to the two of you share stories of being in the Coast Guard.
Oh, we have. You're just not like, there.
Right. But like, because I've heard Tom share stories with other people. I've heard you share stories with other people, but I don't know that I've ever heard you guys talk about it together. Hmm. This is lovely for me. Your trauma has become my trauma.
Everybody else too.
Well, I mean, now everybody's hearing it. So do we have any more questions about this book or are we just,
who knows?
I do have more questions. One more question about the book and then a bunch of bullshit.
Okay.
So if you'll bear with me, we get the idea that medals are for appeasement of the hero and absolution of leadership failures. Is this an accurate description of real world medals?
I know what your answer would be, Tom. You do not like having medals, but I'll tell you what, as a girl with a praise kink and the fact that I never got told I was good as a child, give me all the awards. I want all the accolades. I want to hear what a good girl I am multiple times.
And
I want to be able to put it on my trophy case. So
since we're talking sea stories, I never get what I've earned. Mm-hmm. So it feels like at times awards aren't for me.
Yeah, you know? Well, you're a yeoman.
Fuck you.
Right.
Fuck you. First and foremost, because I got I don't remember what it was. I'll put it in the comments. But I got the same award the rescue swimmers that were transferring out my season got because I had worked 3 hurricanes pregnant. I was the only yeoman, by the way. 3 hurricanes pregnant. I was the only yeoman at the Tex-Mex thing. And it took Corpus a year and a half to approve it because nobody could believe a YN3 could earn this award.
Sounds like unit accommodation?
Yep. I got accommodation because I had busted my ass for Sector Corpus. I was the your analysis coordinator. Do you know that's not an enlisted job? That's an officer's position.
You were evaluating people's urine?
She was a pricker checker.
I was not a pricker checker. That is not how that works. That is not. Don't listen to him, children. That is not how that works. I had to send them in with a male escort. and I would collect the urine. Not any better. Not any better. Okay, holding but, people's urine well, randomly.
Well, but why is holding people's urine an officer job? I would feel like that was a non-rate.
You hold their career. If you mess those up, you get the wrong labels on the wrong person. That the wrong sense. Person is going to Captain's Mast, and he's going to fight the charges.
Yeah, but I don't so really want to hold people's pee.
The one time we had an issue, we had a BM1 in almost, he was about to be a BMC. And we didn't know he had a medical issue. And bosun's mate.
I know what a bosun's mate is. Okay. I was trying to remember what the C stood for.
Chief.
Chief. I'm there. I've caught up.
And we were doing it at Tower 2. And he was waiting for the male escort. And I told him it was going to be a couple more minutes. They were just left. And he started to get pissed at me. And I was like, sir, chief, you're holding your cup. I can't let you leave. And he goes, but I got to pee right now. I'm going to pull my dick out. I'm going to pee right here. You don't understand. I have to go right now. And he's like screaming at me. And I'm like, I understand this is urgent for you. I can't let you leave here. And he's like, you don't get to tell me what to do. And I'm like, I know, but right now I have to. And like, so we're sitting there arguing and my commander comes down the hall. And then the lieutenant that was helping me do the, watch the PPs is like, what's everybody yelling about? And I'm like, near tears, you know?
Like, he told me he's going to show me his dick. And I was like, you can't.
He's yelling at me and I just have to do my job. He ended Tom up was... getting a Sorry, page seven. He ended up getting a page seven and blamed me for it. They ended up not giving him chief.
Well, good. You know, Tom was...
yelled at me.
Tom was on America's Most Wanted.
Good job, Tom.
But when he told me that, it was like shortly after we got engaged. He's like, have I ever told you that I was on America's Most Wanted? And I was like, I feel like that's something we should have disclosed earlier in our relationship. And it was
he was just casually letting it drop.
But it was for a good
reason. He's on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list. He just didn't want you to freak out when you learned about it at the wedding.
But it was because of drug running, right, baby?
They were doing an episode.
When we're in the Coast Guard, we stop drugs, not help drugs.
They were doing an episode on human smuggling.
And they
embedded themselves at Key West and went out with the boat crew. They went out with and they ended up filming one of our morning briefs.
Station Key West or one of the boats?
Sector. They went out with Station and Sector were together.
Yeah.
But they ended up filming one of our morning briefs there. Ah. And I was in the background of the morning brief and like,
bald and clean.
Commanding officer.
That's all you were back then.
Right. So the commanding officer called to close the morning brief, and then they cut over to actual. Uh-huh. They put this Hispanic BMC on a little chug and had him drive up and get arrested by the boarding crew. But yeah, it was a Hispanic BMC. He volunteered for it. But
well, that's fucking stereotypical, dude. Stereotyping, not stereotypical.
Don't even get me on stereotyping, man, in the Coast Guard. We could be here all day.
I feel like we have been.
All right.
More questions.
Does Bob the Sourdough deserve a medal?
Yes! Bob the Sourdough was the hero of that book.
He stopped her from getting murdered by that
several times.
Guy.
He definitely protected her a lot.
Yeah.
That's magic.
I don't think Bob deserves a medal because
I didn't
Bob
think
did not
Bob
need
got
appeasement.
A medal though.
He did
Bob,
not.
Bob did not get a medal. It was
the only
gingerbread
the gingerbread
cookie.
Guy. Yeah, the gingerbread cookie and the girl and Spindle, Mona and Spindle.
Mm-hmm. Mona doesn't work in this book.
I think her aunt should have gotten one. Her aunt was like, you know what? Fuck everyone. I'm going to go and run the kitchen.
Her aunt took over the kitchen. Her aunt literally fired the kitchen, the head chef at that castle and was like, get the fuck out. This is my kitchen now. I don't like
what a leader does.
Get out of here.
That's what a leader does. She came in and led that ship.
And like everybody was like, oh, thank God we hated her.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Captain now?
That's what she did.
She's like, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
During prep for this episode, I discovered that it had been 2 years since I recommended this book. Coincidentally, I've been trying to force April to read Dungeon Crawler Carl for the same 2 years. She picked that up as well. Are you ready to read my newest recommendation, Cinnamon Bun Series by Raven's Dagger? Or do we need to wait a few years first?
I need more information.
I need more information because I want to start Dungeon Crawler Carl first.
I think we should do Dungeon Crawler Carl next season. I really do.
I agree.
I'm on the fifth book now. Or I finished the fifth book. Like, I've only got two more left.
We can do this. I'm more than happy to. He can't host. You're fired from hosting. You're allowed to come back. You're not allowed to host.
Dungeon Crawler Carl is about a Coast Guard dude. So rethink that. Anyway.
No, because I was a Coast Guard.
He's a Coast Guard dude.
I'm a Coast Guard dudette. I can coast.
All right. All right. Molly hosting Dungeon Crawler Carl.
I really love that he was with the Coast Guard because that to me like just makes it the humor so much better. Oh my gosh, Molly, I should send. Oh, I did. So I sent Tom a TikTok earlier. That guy that's the mandatory fun guy.
Yeah.
So he made a stitch of the video I sent you, Molly, where
I saw that.
The only thing that bothers me about this is that I didn't come up with it first. But it's somebody that's saying if being in space for 7 minutes makes you an astronaut, I could be a marine. And she bites a crayon. And I just knew both of you would like it.
We found gummy Crayolas for Matt 1 year.
Was Matt a Marine? I thought he was an Army. Oh.
He is Marine.
Sorry. He is a Marine, because once a Marine...
Once a Marine, always a Marine. As we're sitting here playing with our rubber ducks in the Coast Guard, being like, I like the color blue. Oh, speaking of... Okay. This is totally off topic. Did you see that they are requiring the Coast Guard to up their enlistment goal to 15K more people this year? They want to open Petaluma up to be a second boot camp.
Where the upside down pineapple people are?
Yeah, but that's not just the Coast Guard. That's a whole nother conversation off pod. But they're doing this to all the branches.
But
I think 15K, wouldn't that double the size of the Coast Guard? Like in 1 year?
I believe the Coast Guard's at like 80 something. Like K people, so yeah, that would double our reservists.
But what people don't realize is like the requirements to get in the Coast Guard are like a little bit higher because it gets to be selective because there aren't very many of them.
And there's no bonuses. There's no bonuses.
No bonuses. No.
Yeah,
there is if you're a cook
or a bosun's mate. They'll always pay you to be a bosun's.
The cook's got a $30,000 bonus.
But here's the thing. It came from the Pentagon, and I think that came from another step up, so I'm paranoid.
But is it because they're doing this as DOD? Because the Coast Guard is not really DOD.
The Coast Guard is currently still under Homeland Security.
Right.
But if these numbers are what I think they are, and the math is mathing right, they will be under DOD soon.
No.
We can argue about this later, Tom. I'm a paranoid human. Let me be paranoid.
Yes,
he's a paranoid human.
Basically,
VA diagnosis.
Where's my money, VA? Hey, you put her on blast earlier.
Basically, would you let me continue my book recommendations, or should I remain the weather watcher?
She doesn't know that story. She doesn't know that story.
She does not.
So when James was in preschool,
they
had class jobs, and one was the weather watcher who like looked out the window and told them what it looks like outside. And one was the book picker who got to like pick the book they read in circle time. And James came home one day on the weekend. He was playing school and he's like, Daddy, you are the book chooser and Mommy is the weather watcher. And Tom was like, Son, Daddy literally had to watch the weather for his job in the Coast Guard, and your mom literally has a master's degree in picking books. He's like, there can only be one weather watcher.
Tom, weather watch. What's going on, homie?
It's going to rain Wednesday.
It's going to rain!
Memes have ruined our lives, children. They have. The memes have ruined our lives.
I think you can keep giving us suggestions, Tom, but suggest better books than this one. Because, listen, 2 years ago, you gave me a suggestion of Magical Kingdom for sale for me to read for our challenge. It was terrible. Yeah.
Magic Kingdom for sale sold. An amazing book.
Not good. And I never want to read that book or any other book in that series or by that author ever again. If I could go back and unread it, I would. Now.
Okay. So if
Dungeon Crawler Carl was good. Magic, the wizard fucking that we're talking about now, the baker, not good. Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, good. So at this point, you have a 50%. I don't know that we can accept you at that point.
What's my rating, though?
Yours is probably lower.
And yet I'm still here.
The sample size is higher, so we can't really compare the two.
I don't think I could be here without you because this was literally your idea. So I don't get to fire you. You can fire Tom and me, but I don't think we can fire you.
I don't like that idea. No me gusta. Book besties is you and me. That's
all it. Right. So don't we know April anybody. Gave the book a 12 out of 10. Molly, what's your rating on the book?
I gave it a 2.5.
I gave it a solid 3. I liked the story. I thought it was cute. There was parts that were flat and dry for me. It could have been a little bit more fluffier and flaky for being a book about a baker. Like, it really could have been more cutesy. I was really rooting for this to be like a cozy fantasy kind of thing. And it just didn't hit that pocket for me.
I think if I would have read it at a different time, it might have been rated a 3. But as I am still dealing with a book hangover from Sunrise on the Reaping.
Seriously, yes. I am so sad over Haymitch.
And so today I just finished a book called Axes and O's by Kayla Gross. And it is about a lumberjack and two lumberjacks, a man and a woman, and they are married. And a guy wrecks his car and they save him from a snowbank and they spend the whole book fucking the three of them. So my brain is cleaned now. So now I can read pod books again.
Nope, we're done. We're done.
April Goodreads. What'd you give it, April?
2.5.
2.5 on April on Goodreads.
I think this book either needs a sequel to make it cozier, or it needs to just go away, Fisher.
I think she was trying, but she got outed by the award committee. She kind of gave up on it.
I have other books by her on my TBR that I actually was going to suggest for pod, and reading this one makes me not want to read her again.
Agreed. Like, this put me really I won't say negative, but mm-hmm. I'm definitely deterred from reading her because I mm-hmm. definitely had higher hopes for this. Mm-hmm. Tom, you talked it up too much. That's your fault, homie.
What the hell?
I asked the question about the magic system and the witchy stuff. That was my only question about the whole thing.
No. Wait a second. I want the record to show what he actually wrote on our spreadsheet when he suggested this. So let me pull it up. Because this is how he talked about it. A Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking. It's a short, lightish, and actually about a witch or sorcerer, not a wizard. I grabbed this one thinking it was actually about baking. It's a coming-of-age murder mystery that turns into baking her way out of a military siege. It's cute.
That made me want to read it!
That's what it is! That's a perfect description of the book!
I was unsatisfied, husband.
Well, I'll fix that later.
That is off pod for that one.
I was talking about the book!
It took you long enough.
I was talking about the book.
What are we doing next week, and how long before Dungeon Crawler Carl ends up here?
I think Dungeon Crawler Carl will be next season. I really do. But next week we're doing this book, An Academy for Liars. Is this the last book for April?
I don't know. You're April. You tell me.
What the fuck, Molly? I think this might be. So let's go through all of the books that we're reading. So we're going to do An Academy for Liars will be next week. And then we are doing When Women Were Dragons, which I've wanted to read for a while. Kelly Barnhill. I actually really love her middle grade book, The Girl Who Drank the Moon. So I'm excited to read this.
Don't know that.
And then we are going to... Hang on one second. Then we are going to read this novella trilogy by Beth Rivas, and she is going to guest on our pod. So
I'm so excited for this.
It's the Chaotic Orbit series, Last Chance to Save the World, How to Steal the Galaxy, and this is the first one. Full Speed Till Crash Landing, How to Save the Galaxy, and Last Chance to Save the World.
I rated
all three of these 5 out of 5. So good.
So fucking good, guys. And
the whole trilogy is about the length of one book. So
it is so good. I blew through the first two books in 24 hours.
Yeah, I did too.
So good.
So good. And we're going to finish the month with this book, Last Night at the Telegraph Club. And this is by Melinda Oh. This is actually going to be our first LGBTQ Pride Month book, but it's going to be in May because in June, we're having back an author, Hazel Gaynor.
And I'm so excited for her to come
Her back. Book doesn't come out until July, so we threw her in June so we could get it as close to possible to her release.
But I'm really all excited three for Hazel, episodes, though. She's going to be a blast.
All three episodes in June are guests. All three of them. Whoop.
I know.
Anyway, so that's what we've got coming up next month. Check social media. You probably saw the big announcement that we made last week that we are going to be at the Columbus Book Festival in July. We'll be hosting two panels. We'll be interviewing other authors there. Two panels. It's going to be great. So if you're in Columbus or in Ohio, come see us. We're very excited.
Look for Nurse Katie. Look for Tom. Look for husband Matt. Somebody's going to have stickers or flyers.
Yeah.
They have shorts too.
We'll all have our best shirts on. And yeah.
Tackle those motherfuckers.
We have stickers. We have flyers.
Tom actually prefers it if you tackle him as a greeting.
Don't touch my husband. Don't touch my husband.
You see how paranoid we are. Go for it.
And join our Patreon so we can pay to go to Columbus.
Seriously, guys, that would help.
Yeah.
All right, besties, we'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are vaguely representative of April and Molly, and certainly not reflective of the views of Ed Begley Jr. Today's book, A Wizard Guide to Defensive Baking, by Ursula Vernon, as T. Kingfisher, your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Pritchett. Don't forget to follow Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. You can support the Book Besties by joining our Patreon at Book Besties Podcast. Until next time, besties, support search and rescue and get lost in your favorite book.